The following clip is from the movie Marley and Me, and I was going to put a disclaimer as the episode went on that I had used it. I used over 2 minutes of it, and so there's a chance that this podcast will get pulled at some point in time for copyright infringement, and my hope is that that doesn't happen, because in the context of the podcast, that would really make sense. But I'm not re-recording this at all, and this podcast is opening with Marley and Me. Thank you.
It's okay. You don't have to do anything. You have your usual energy. Remember how we were always saying what a pain you are? You're the world's worst dog. Don't believe it. Don't believe it even for a minute. Because you know we couldn't find a better dog. You know what made you such a great dog is you loved us every day, no matter what. That's an amazing thing. You know how much we love you. Love you so much. Love you more than anything. I don't know exactly where we go from here. I want you to remember you're a great dog, Marley. You're a great dog.
He won't feel this, he'll just slip away. You ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
So this Friday at 12:30, we're going to put down my dog, Dickie. And that's what today is really about. So we'll see how well I do with today and kind of how that goes. But I thought it was important because I think that grief is one of those things that people don't talk about. And that's a lot of what this show is about, is really talking about grief and feeling feelings and all that kind of stuff. And I think about this dog who's been in my life for over 12 years now. And like the wave of sadness and all that stuff that I have felt for him is greater than any human that I have known that has passed away. All together, all of them together. So, Dickie is a 13-plus 4 months pug, fawn pug, my first dog. And I wrote something yesterday that I wanted to share. It is difficult to describe the numbing feeling I've had for the last few days as I emotionally do the best I can in preparing for Dickie's final days. I'm sure I'll have more to share later in the week, but our relationship began as sweetly as can be. Jenny and I worked together for about 6 months, and she'd always spoken about her one-year-old pug, Dickie, who had never left her side for any reason. I was excited to meet him for the first time during the house party Jenny had in September of 2007. With roughly 20 guests, Dickie followed me the entire night, and when I was too buzzed to drive home, Dickie slept next to me on the couch. The next day, Jenny's mom, Sheila, told Jenny that Dickie was in essence picking me. And this Friday afternoon, I'll say goodbye to my sweet prince. Just when I feel like I'm out of tears, more come. I've got so many memories with him that will keep flooding my heart over the next few days. He's my first pup, and I haven't fully grasped what the week will bring, but I'll get every snort, kiss, snuggle, and shed that he's willing to share in the next 4 days. I love you so much, Dickie. He's had a lot of problems over the last 3 years. And if you know anything about purebred dogs, despite the accolades and the AKC American Kennel Club certification for many of them, they're prone to health issues. And we have two purebred pugs, one fawn, which is Dickie, and then one black purebred pug, Barkley. And I met Jenny in 2007, and she'd already had Dickie, and I'd never had a dog growing up. I had rabbits, and I remember one of my rabbits had got out of, I had three of them, not at the same time, they were all at different times, and one of them got mauled by a raccoon. I remember my dad so sweetly tiptoeing around the fact that my rabbit had been mauled by a raccoon and left in the driveway, basically just the sheds of him. And I mean, it was a rabbit. There's only so much communication you can have. He was only around for a few months. And I mean, outside of that, I just didn't really have any pets. And I really didn't see myself as a dog person for the longest time. And then you meet a dog who's just so sweet. And I didn't live with Jenny in the first year, couple of years of our relationship. And she would get up and go to work at 6 in the morning, and I would get up and go to work at like 7:30. So it was a good hour, hour and a half, a lot of times that I would be laying in bed alone. And as soon as Jenny got up to go and get ready, he would jump in the bed and lay beside me, and I'd spoon with this pug. And it was just so sweet. And I remember like... going on vacation, and we'd always just ask each other, like, what do you think Dickie's doing right now? And like, we're talking about a dog, right? So, I don't know. It's very strange. And so 3 years ago or so, he started having what seemed like a neck or a back problem. And, I had just had shoulder surgery, and I was home for 6 weeks while I was in the sling, and I was working from home. And it almost was like fate, because he started having all these issues and I never had to leave the house to go to work or anything. So I could always make sure that he was taken care of, and then I could walk him down the steps of the deck so that he could go to the bathroom. And so him and I have just had like a really good, solid relationship. For so long, and he's just made me so happy. I need to catch my... hold on. I've got some good stuff on him, happy stories. It's just going to take a second. So we go on vacation, and it was like... what is Dickie doing right now? What do you think Dickie's doing right now? And like, we'd be sitting on the beach in Southern California, or we'd be in Hawaii, you know, we'd be in some obscure place. We'd be in Belize. We'd be all over the place. And the question inevitably came up, like, what do you think Dickie's doing right now? And of course, like, he's a dog. He's either out for a walk, or he's taking a shit, or he's eating, or he's drinking, or he's cuddling. And that's pretty much it. That's all that there is to it. In fact, so much, he would usually stay with my parents when we'd go on vacation, and we would call and ask to talk to him, right? And like every pet owner, especially pet owners that don't have kids, I feel like do this all the time, where they call and they want to talk to their pet, and their pet can probably hear their voice, but obviously they can't communicate back. But I remember I was sharing with my friend Karen, there were so many times where I would like look at Dickie in the eyes, or Barkley, and she'd look at her dog in the eyes, and like, I swear with every fiber of my being, if he could open his mouth and start talking, he would have done it, right? Dogs are just so interesting in that way. And the first couple of years that I was with him, there's a place in Seattle called Green Lake, which is this, gosh, I don't even know how long it is. I want to say that it's 2 miles, might be like a mile and a half, might even be 3 miles. This area called Green Lake that's down by Seattle, and that's kind of where Jenny's house was at the time. And when you go and you see like an owner running with their dog, right, you think of like bigger dogs like Labs and German Shepherds and Great Danes and all those kind of dogs. So I would take this little 25-pound pug, 20 or 25-pound pug at the time, and I would go and make him run around Green Lake. This would be at 5 a.m. So he would have gone to bed, and I'd wake up, and it'd be 5 a.m. And I'd be like, come on, let's go. And he'd come and get his collar or his leash. And it's almost like begrudgingly dragging his paws. And then as soon as we get there and we start running, he's pumped. But by the end of it, just looking up at me, and I could just see him cursing me with his eyes. Like, I'm a pug. I don't go on runs like this. This is not what I do. You know, that kind of thing. And it's just so funny because, like, you know, little stories like that where it's just like, it's not going to be around after this Friday at approximately 1 o'clock, let's call it. Vet's going to arrive at 12:30. So after 1 o'clock, I'm not going to really, I'm going to have the stories forever. But I keep taking notes of things that I'm remembering to say on my computer, and so that's what the tapping is. But so I take him on the runs around Green Lake, and he fucking hated it. And so, I don't know, that might have lasted a few days or a week or something like that, and that was it. And it was just, you know, to regular walks. And I mean, even after Zoe was born, after work, I'd put her in the Ergo baby, you know, like the baby born, where I'm wearing her, and I take him on a walk, and I take Barkley on a walk, and like, she just loved it. And they were so, he's been so good. With my kids, and so gentle, even if they were driving him nuts, sitting on him, stuff like that. He's been so gentle and so good. Okay. So, Barkley and Dickie were both in our wedding and wore little bow ties in our wedding. And they walked down the aisle and they stood with the wedding party. And we took a lot of really cool pictures. Maybe when I share this in the comments, I'll leave some of these pictures. But he was so cute, and he was there for the ceremony, but then also for the reception. And he was like, you know, people were picking him up and dancing with him and all this kind of stuff. And then eventually he just falls asleep under a table, like, leave me alone. Like, this is way too much. But the thing that I will, probably my greatest memory of him ever, will be and we have this on video. Somebody's messaging me on Facebook. We have this on video of, I lost my train of thought. We have it on video, the wedding ceremony, when this thing happened. So, you know, we're going through the ceremony and it was like 20 total minutes. It was a pretty short ceremony. And we get to the point of reading our vows. And I, you know, I had my vows written and we read our own vows. And Dickie's standing beside me and, or he's standing right near me, right next to me. I don't know, 3 feet away. And he's quiet the entire ceremony. And we get to a part of my vows where I started crying. And he started crying. It was like on demand. Actually, maybe I'll find the clip and just play it now. So there'll be some scrolling, and so you may have to put up with a little bit of that. But let's see here. Okay, I'll find it. So I'm reading my vows, and Dickie starts crying, and you'd think, okay, it's just, that was just by chance, like just, you know, stupid luck. And then it happens again, you know, 30 seconds later, something like that. Same thing. I start, you can hear my voice break, and then you hear him crying. And it was like as if we, you know, we were connected. And it's just so, you know, dogs are so funny in that respect. It's like all that they want from you is your heart, and they will give you theirs. And dogs, in a lot of ways, like very, very young kids, it's like, you know, they express their emotion, right? And Dickie's felt very, very sad for a long time, I feel. Crying in his sleep, he's become incontinent sometimes, and inconsistent eating and a lot of that kind of stuff. And so there becomes a period of time where it's like, are you keeping an animal alive for them, or are you keeping an animal alive for you? And so that's kind of where we're at right now. Let me find the point in the wedding. There'll be some scrolling, and so you may hear little bits of it. I'm not going to edit this, and so let's find it.
Before this, your ambition and capacity has shown me having more capability of achieving things that I didn't want and don't seem impossible. Our love is like football on Sundays. I love it and it's never going away. I promise to watch at least one romantic comedy with you each month. I promise to always give the folks a bath. And I promise to love and appreciate you more each day.
Okay, here we go.
I can't wait to explore this world with you. To me, marriage is a partnership.
Maybe,
but with
maybe
you,
no.
Marriage is awesome. And even when Seinfeld stops running in syndication, and Facebook is shut down for good, and energy drinks are banned worldwide, we'll always have each other. I look forward to this adventure as we embark on a lifetime of travel and exploration.
Okay, I think this is it.
I know our marriage will last forever, and I vow to be the best husband I possibly can today.
Listen.
My passion is you. You constantly remind me to chase my dreams, and I always do what makes me happy. Spending the rest of my life with you is my dream, and the thought of that dream makes me happy. And coincidentally,
I promise him for you.
All right, so that was the first part. Let me find the second part.
I will give you the space you need to grow to let Jenny be family. I will give you the space you need to grow to let Jenny be Jenny.
I will encourage you and feed your dreams.
I will encourage you and feed your dreams.
I will celebrate your triumphs.
I will celebrate your triumphs.
And mourn your losses.
And mourn your losses.
As though they were my own.
As though they were my own.
I, Eddie, take you, Jenny.
Take you, Jenny.
To be my wife.
To be my wife.
To have and hope to hold.
To have and hold.
From this day forward. For better or for worse.
For better or
for
worse.
For richer or for poorer.
Richer or
poorer. You can hear him in the background in both of those parts. And connected, and I'm looking at him right now. And when I started recording this, he was down near my feet. And over the last few days, so basically, he had, this was in March or April of 2018, just like rapidly declining. So this is a year and 7 months ago ish. Rapidly declining. Stopped eating, that kind of stuff. Take him to the vet. Vet's testing his blood sugar levels. They're all out of whack. Kind of really don't know what's going on. And then taking him to the emergency clinic or the animal hospital. And he was there for several nights. I don't know, 5 nights, 6 nights, 7 nights, something like that. And, you know, basically they were determined that he had diabetic ketoacidosis and he needed to have 2 insulin shots a day. And the challenge then became figuring out, like, what is the proper blood sugar amount and what's the right food that we can give him, and how do we balance the amount of food with, you know, the amount of insulin that he's going to need. And so playing that game, I would venture to guess that between March of 2018 and this past Friday, he's been to the vet 60 times or so. There was a few stretches where I went every Friday to have, I'd feed him and then I'd run him down to the vet and they would check his blood sugar and we'd give him a certain dose of insulin and then see, you know, really monitor it and see what the right amount was. And, finally got his blood sugar regulated, and to the right amount. He was doing really good. And then his eyesight went, his eyes went. And, you know, that seemed like it was sort of like the beginning of the end. And then he just, it seemed like he was just kind of like lost in his own body, lost in his own head, with what the vet thinks is dementia. And I remember watching somebody very close in Jenny's life, sort of wither away with dementia for a few years. And it is terrible. And there's times when Dickie is outside. We have a dog door. He's outside. And it's almost as if like he's lost. He can't figure out how to get through the dog door anymore. You know, doesn't know what to do. And if you open up the dog door and you just touch him, he'll come in. And it seems like he gets it. It's almost like you have like two wires that are crossed and they're suddenly starting to get disconnected and it's like shorting out is sort of what it reminds me of. And he'll be sleeping in our living room and he'll start crying and whimpering. And one of us, me or Jenny or Zoe sometimes, which is really sweet, we'll just pet him and basically just tell him that it's going to be okay and that he's okay and that letting him know that he's safe. And he stops. So I know that time comes and I know that he's a dog. But he's the best fucking dog. He's the best. He's the best. That's all I got for this week. Dickie, I love you.